Be seated. Let us pray. Most gracious God, it is in the midst of this Christmas season that we come once again to remember, to be reminded, to celebrate the gift that you gave and the hope that was revealed in the coming of your Son, Jesus. And so we pray, Lord, that you would visit us again with your Spirit, that you would bring your presence to this place, that the hope and the joy and the peace and the love of this season would fill our hearts, that it would be upon us and fill us, that we might share this blessing with the world. We pray, Lord, as we gather this day, that you would continue to keep the Christmas spirit alive in our hearts. We're grateful for all of the gatherings that have taken place with family and friends and loved ones. And we pray that for those still traveling, that you would be with them. For those that are grieving in this season with the loss of a loved one, or those that they're estranged from and unable to see, that you would bring them some peace and consolation. We pray particularly for our congregation as we have said farewell to a number of people over this past year, and even prepare to pay our respects to Mike Henshaw, and we pray that your peace would be with his family. We pray this day for the beginning of a new year that's before us. May you go before us. May we see your blessings surround us, and may we be guided by your Spirit to be faithful in all of our endeavors. And so may your blessings be upon us as we seek to be your people, to be your church, to be a part of the transforming work that you are doing in our lives and in this world. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, the newborn King, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's first lesson reading comes from the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 15 and 17 through 19. God announces in the Garden Eden Adam and Eve's punishment for their rebellion, and the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return."
Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18. God promises to Abraham that by his descendants, all of the nations shall obtain blessing. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice."
You may be seated. The third lesson is from Isaiah 9, 2, 6 to 7. The prophet announces the birth of a king to a people in darkness. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
Isaiah 11, 1 to 4a and 6 to 9. The king is coming and will usher in a reign of justice for the poor and peace for all of God's creation. A shoot shall come out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the earth.
The fifth lesson is from Luke chapter 1, 26 to 35, and verse 38. The angel Gabriel announces to the Virgin Mary that she will give birth to God's promised Son, whose kingdom shall never end. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
I'd like to come up for a children's message this morning. Well, good morning. Everybody have a good Christmas? Anybody been outside playing in the snow? Yep. It's pretty cold, isn't it? Yes. Well, do you know what tomorrow is? New Year's Day, that's right. So tomorrow is a whole new year, right? Tomorrow it'll be January 1st, 2018. So is tomorrow, this is a little bit of a trick question, is tomorrow going to be any different than any other day? Not so much, it's just another day on the calendar, right? But for a lot of people, we make a big deal about tonight is New Year's Eve, and at midnight, the clocks change from 2017 to 2018, and a lot of people look at it and say, okay, this is a time for a new start and a new beginning since it's a new year. Do you know what it's called when people make promises to themselves when the new year starts? You ever heard of a New Year's resolution? What kind of resolutions do you think people make? Some people say, "I'm going to exercise more," or "I'm going to eat better," or "I'm going to do this or that," and they make themselves promises. What would be good promises for you guys to think about making for yourself if you were going to make a New Year's resolution? What do you think? Self-control? Okay. All right. What else? Other promises? How many of your moms and dads would be thrilled if you made a promise to yourself that you were going to clean up your toys every day? Parents would be pretty excited about that, right? Or make your bed or put your dirty clothes in the laundry basket every day. Now what happens when people, even, I'm not just talking about you, what happens, do you think, when grown-ups make themselves promises like this? Do you think they go a whole year doing it perfect? Nope. Doesn't happen very often. People make themselves promises, and unfortunately we break our promises to ourselves, don't we? A lot of those New Year's resolutions people make, we're not even a week into January before they get broken. So we're not real good sometimes with our promises, but I wanted to share with you, this is after the Christmas story in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 2, and Jesus is 8 days old, and his mom and dad take him to the temple, and it was a ceremony. It's kind of like how in our church we bring babies up and have them baptized, but in the Jewish church they would go to the temple for a ceremony and a blessing. So when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple, there was an older man there who was a very faithful man, and he loved God. And when he saw Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus, he got excited because he recognized who Jesus was. And it says that he took Jesus in his arms and praised God and said, "Master," talking to God, he said, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people,
a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. So what Simeon is basically saying is saying, oh my goodness, God, my life is complete. Everything I've ever waited for, you've made it happen in this baby. And he says, not only that, God, those promises that I read about in your scriptures, Jesus is proof that you've kept your promise. So God is really good at keeping his promises. And Jesus was the greatest promise that God has kept for us. Because when Jesus came, God said, yes, I love you. Yes, I want to give you hope. And yes, I want to save you. And so when Jesus came, all of those promises were fulfilled. So we may not be as good at keeping promises as God, but it doesn't mean we should try, right? Because a promise is a promise. And if God loves us so much and keeps his promises, we should probably do the best that we can to keep our promises to ourselves, to our friends, to our parents. Because keeping a promise is a good thing, isn't it? Can you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for all of the promises that you have fulfilled in Jesus. That every promise that we read about in Scripture, Jesus is your yes. Yes to you loving us. Yes to you saving us. Yes to you wanting us to have a blessed life. And so, God, help us to do the best we can to keep our promises and to please you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Happy New Year to all of you. I'll see you next year.
Good morning. The sixth lesson is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Against a backdrop of emperors and taxes, Jesus is born. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Seventh lesson today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. The shepherds go to see the Savior of the world lying in a manger. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts singing, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger.
The eighth lesson is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The ninth lesson is from John 1:1-14. Anna.
great.
She's eager. We continue to worship this morning through the giving of our gifts and our tithes and our offerings. We invite the ushers forward at this time. Most gracious God, we praise you with all of our hearts for the love and the gift that you have shown us through Jesus Christ. And so may these humble gifts that we offer be blessed and multiplied for the work and service of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The ninth lesson is in John 1, verse 14. John unfolds a great mystery of incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
He was the world, and all the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we had seen his glory, glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Thank you.
As we wrap up our worship this day, may we not forget the love that God had for us and those words of John, that the Word became flesh and lived among us, lived as one of us, lived alongside of us, that we might know how great God's love is, that God didn't save us from afar, but he came near to be with us and offer us that hope and salvation. So may the spirit of Christmas remain with you. And while the decorations may get put away for another year and all of the lights and things will go out, may this joy and this hope remain alive within you. So may the peace of this season and the hope of this season be with you. And may you have a very happy new year. Amen.